The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 24, text number 76, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 11th, 2012, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ya imam shradaya yukta mat gitam bhagavatstavam adhyana dararadhyam harim aradyati asau ya imam shradaya yukto mat gitam bhagavatstavam adhyana dararadhyam harim aradhayat yasau ya imam shradaya yukto mat gitam bhagavatstavam adhyana dararadhyam harim aradhayat yasau. So, it is a fact. Dararadhyam. Krishna consciousness is very, very difficult. So, what is the hope for us Kali Yugites? If it is very difficult, what is our hope? We are full of all bad qualities in this age. We're lazy, we're unlucky, we're misguided, our minds are agitated by lust, by greed, by anger, by illusion, by madness, by envy. So many pollutions are contaminating us. What's our hope? This is our hope, Prabhupada. Unless one accepts the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who is freed from all material contamination, one cannot enter into devotional service of the Lord. So, what if Prabhupada doesn't have to be walking nearby and you can't get the dust from his feet? Well, he has also left another form of dust, which is even more potent form of dust. That is the Bhaktivedanta purports. They are an ocean, an unlimited ocean of dust. So if we can take those purports on our head and into our hearts, if we can take Prabhupada's transcendental purports deep, deep, deep into our hearts, then we can drive out all of that contamination, that mala, you see, that mala consciousness can become a mala consciousness. So, by the grace of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astatarasata Shishimad, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, that impossible process known as Bhakti Yoga becomes very, very easy. As easy as popping a glob jamun into your mouth. No problem. If you become humble and you take Prabhupada's words as your guiding principle, as the life and soul, you see. Prabhupada's books are my life and soul. You see, I accept everything. Prabhupada said, I did not write these books. Krishna wrote these books. Some people say, well, Prabhupada was right and sometimes he was wrong sometimes. I don't listen to such nonsense speculation. Srila Prabhupada was sent by Krishna from the spiritual world here to the material world. Krishna said, you go there and write those books. These books of Srila Prabhupada are the most powerful manifestation of Vedic knowledge in the history of the universe, who are completely revolutionizing this whole world, as predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Sats janna durjanna pangu jagda anagana prema vanyaila dubala jagatera janna. This Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami. It is a tidal wave of transcendental love of God. You see. And it is so powerful, it will inundate the entire universe, drowning everyone. The satsjana, the pious, they will become drowned. The durjana, the impious, like me, they will become drowned. You see. Jada and gana. Everyone, the lame people, the blind people, everybody will be drowned in this inundation that Prabhupada has set off, this tsunami called ISKCON. This is the ISKCON tsunami, and it is inundating the whole world. You see. So, does that mean that we're perfect because we're members of ISKCON? No, it means if we stick with this movement and we follow Prabhupada's instructions, we will become perfect. That's a thing. It's not that, well, I'm initiated, so now I'm a pure devotee. No way. That's called sahajism. Initiated now means I'm very serious about seeing all that dirt in my heart. Those are anarthas, you see. There's different stages given by Rupa Goswami. The first stage is shraddha. You have faith in the process. Second stage is called sadhu sangha. Now I will associate with these sadhus. The third stage, bhajana kriya, I take diksha. The fourth stage, anartanaviti. Now that I'm initiated, now it's time to get to work and do some serious house cleaning. Very, very serious house cleaning, you see. Well, I'm following the four regulated principles. I'm chanting 16 rounds. I don't have to worry about anything. But wait a minute. You have a ton, we all have tons of anarthas sitting there in our hearts. Now we got to get really serious. Once we take initiation, we have enrolled in the process. We've officially registered in the process of becoming a pure devotee. Completely spotless amala Vaishnava, you see. Initiation means now I've signed up, I sign on the dotted line, I sign the contract, yes. I will do everything I can to become a pure devotee as soon as possible. You see, that's initiation. So it's time to roll up our sleeves and get to work. You see, I've taken in diksha. Now I have to give it to those anarthas, you see. Well, I just want to go for the ruchi. I'm not going to worry about the anarthas. That's sahaja, you see. I just want to taste the gopi bhav. Never mind if I'm lusting after every beautiful woman that walks by, but I'm going to relish gopi bhav. Come on, you know. Don't be a fool. We have to go through the process step by step. We have to completely clean our heart of the anarthas. Then, after that anarthanaviti stage comes, we go to nishtha. See, there was preliminary faith, that's shraddha, and nishtha means firm faith. It's described that there's no more passion and ignorance when you come to the nishtha stage. And then only after nishtha can you go to ruchi and get genuine taste. Genuine taste. At ruchi stage, we're hankering for it. Bhaktivinoda is hankering for it also. You know that song. Kabe habe bolo se ni naman. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Aparadha guchi, shudaname ruchi, kripa bole habe hridoye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine. Kabe habe bolo se dinaman. When will that day be mine? He's hankering for that root sheath. Of course, he's already there, but he's showing for us what we should be thinking. You see? Here we are battling it out in the Anartanaviti stage. That lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy, that those offensive mentalities we carry in our hearts. Oh, this devotee did this to me, this devotee did that to me. Ugh. You see? Offensive mentality. Vaishnava aparad sitting in the heart. You see, and sometimes it comes out in our mouth also. And that's when it's really bad. But even to carry in the heart is very bad. It holds one back in the pathway of Krishna bhakti. So we have to hanker, as Bhaktivinoda has taught us, we have to hanker for that pure state. We can chant the holy name without any offense. We must hanker. Hanker, intensely hanker for that day, you see. When will that day come? When will that day become? You see? This is the mood of our great acharyas. They have taught us this mood, viraha bhajana, feeling separation, hankering. When can I achieve pure bhakti? When can I chant the holy names purely? When will I see Krishna? You see? Rupa, the Goswamis, they were in this mood, Prabhupada explains. Actually, Srinivasacharya has very nicely explained the mood of the Goswamis here in Vrindavan. Hey Radhe Vraja Devi Ke Chalalite Hey Nandasuna Kutaha Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vane Kutaha. Where are you, Radharani, Queen of Vrindavan? Where are you? Lalita, where are you? Oh, Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Are you on Govardhan? Are you on the Jamuna bank under the Kopa Viksha trees? Where are you? Where are you? You see. In this way, the Goswamis were intensely wondering, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? You see. Prabhupada explains that there are people in Vrindavan who were lingering in Vrindavan, hankering to see Krishna. And Prabhupada said, that hankering to see Krishna, that is as good as seeing Krishna. That intense viraha, that feeling of separation, when will I see Krishna? Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Baba to me, that intense hankering, please Krishna, come to my vision. That is as good as seeing Krishna. Of course, we have to know the art. Now that we demand Krishna, you see. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that don't try to see God, but you act in such a way that God will want to see you. You can't gate crash your way into Krishna's darshan. Okay, you know, bar through the gate. Okay, Krishna, I've come to see you. Doesn't work. You have to qualify yourself that Krishna wants to see you. You see. Then we will have our Krishna darshan. When Krishna is so pleased with our loving service mood, our humble mood of dedication to Vaishnavas, to Guru, to every aspect of bhakti, when we have completely cleansed our heart of all this envy, all these bad qualities, we're very sincere in every possible way to serve Krishna with our every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, to serve Krishna, to serve Prabhupada, to serve my Guru Maharaj, to serve the Vaishnavas, you see. When that purity of consciousness comes, then Krishna will appear. Yes. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram chintya ganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So this process of Krishna consciousness, it works. It does. but only if we work the process. If I just want to kind of do it halfway, you know, a little sense gratification, a little Krishna consciousness, you know, mixed karma mishra bhakti, well, how much result we will get? You'll get a mixed result. Sometimes you feel ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, sometimes you become miserable because of your material desires. You see, material desires mean misery. So we have to get rid of those little rascals sitting in the heart. All those material desires, how do you get rid of them? If you grab them and throw them out of the heart, they just come running back in. You see? The trick is this. You have to fill your heart with spiritual desires. So when you kick those little rascals out and they come running back, there'll be a big sign in the hotel of your heart that says, no vacancy. You have to have your heart so full of spiritual desires that those material desires don't have any space. There's no room. Jam, a heart jam-packed with spiritual desires, that's the key. You see? We have to have spiritual desires. I want to chant the name purely. I want to honor Prasad respectfully. I want to always lovingly serve the Vaishnavas, always lovingly think of the Vaishnavas. I want to preach. I want to make devotees. I want to distribute books. I want to see that this whole world will be flooded with Prabhupada's books. You see? So in this way, you see, one is very serious. Not this quasi-bhakti program, you see. Pure bhakti, amala bhakti. That's where the nectar is. The fact is, we only taste the nectar to the degree that we purified our hearts. So how much nectar do you want? Want a little bit? Want a medium quantity, or do you want an ocean of nectar? You see, that's the decision we have to make. How much nectar do I want right now? How much nectar would I like to taste right now? The little drop or unlimited oceans of nectar? We have that choice at every minute, how much nectar we want to taste. You see, we have a little spigot, nectar spigot. According to Yeyatabang Prapadyante, Tangs the Taiva Bhujamyaham. That's your nectar spigot right there. To whatever extent you're really serious about being completely surrendered to Krishna, whatever Krishna wants, I'm completely detached from anything except for Krishna. Krishna is my only attachment, you see. The more we can manifest that consciousness, the more we will relish the nectar. Well, how much nectar is there, one could ask? This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Actually, it's a very nice verse. You know, this verse, Prabhupada told George Harrison he should write a popular song about this verse. It's such an important verse. Prabhupada wanted this verse popularized in the world. He wanted George to do that. The Sanskrit goes like this. Tunde tandamadi vritang vitanute tundavali lambiye karna krodha kadamani katayate kunarvide raspiham cheta prangana sangani sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyanmiramita krishti varnadvai. The translation is this. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. I do not know. Because when I utter Krishna, that vibration dances on my tongue. Krishna dances on my tongue. And there's so much nectar oozing out of Krishna that my one little tongue isn't big enough to capture all that nectar. Therefore, I need to have millions of tongues to capture that nectar. And then when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar, I need trillions and quadrillions and quintillions of ears to capture at least a little tiny insignificant fraction of a fraction of a fraction of those unlimited oceans of nectar. And when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, My mind is completely conquered. And I am stunned in a splendorous state of transcendental wonderment. So, that's just one little Krishna. You see? Just in those two syllables, there's more nectar. That Krishna is the ultimate gulab jamun. And when the gulab jamun, when you bite into that name in pure bhakti, it squirts out so much gulab jamun juice, it fills up the whole universe and bursts through the universal coverings. That's how much juice there is in Krishna. Well, but I don't experience that when I chant my japa. What am I doing wrong? Well, look at the list of 10 things. Well, I'm doing that one wrong. I must be doing all the 10 offenses every day, because when I chant Hare Krishna, it's dry. I must be really a nama-parati, because when I chant, it's completely dry. So we have to be introspective, you know. We have to be honest with ourselves. And, you know. If we are dishonest with ourselves, we cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. We have to be honest and see actually how fallen we are. You say, well, come on, that's depressing. I don't want to think how fallen I am. The devotees say, Prabhu, you're very advanced. They bow down at my feet. I don't want to think that I'm fallen. But hey, the more you consider yourself fallen, you're actually advanced, Prabhu. Mataji. The more you think you're fallen, that is your advancement. The more you think you're advanced, you're fallen. So one has to know the secrets of this bhakti yoga process that Prabhupada has so wonderfully, explicitly revealed in purport after purport after purport after purport. If we can simply dive into this ocean of Prabhupada lamritam, the transcendental pastimes and teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you see. Then we will not be living in this material world. We will be living in Vaikuntha. We will be living in Goloka Vrindavan at every minute. If we always stay inside, if we live inside the books of Prabhupada, take up your residence in Prabhupada's books, you see. Live in Prabhupada's books. Don't live anywhere else. Just live in Prabhupada's books. And you'll be living in Goloka Vrindavan, you see. Nashta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. We should always hear the Bhagavatam and serve the person whose life is the Bhagavatam. Well, are we supposed to become persons Bhagavatam or not? That's only for Prabhupada. Or are we also supposed to become pure devotees? What did Prabhupada want? Did Prabhupada want us to become persons Bhagavatam or to remain Kali Yuga persons? What did Prabhupada want? Srila Prabhupada wants us all to become pure devotees. That's a thing. Mahabhagavat. We're inching our way forward. Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari. Prabhupada actually wants us all to become Mahabhagavats, completely pure devotees. That's a thing. That's our duty. Each one of us has to become a Mahabhagavat. That's what Prabhupada wants. Right now we're very fallen, but we have to hanker for that pure bhakti. If you don't hanker for it, how are you going to get it? You see? You may say, well, it's unrealistic. I can never become a pure devotee. It's not unrealistic. It is, in one sense, dhira-radhyam means it's unrealistic to become a pure devotee. But then Prabhupada says, by surrendering unto a pure devotee, you see, then you can get that mercy. So we have to take this surrender very, very seriously. It can purify us of all this contamination that's sitting there for thousands and millions and billions and trillions of lifetimes. That dirt that's kept us, that subtle dirt, you see, the gross body that's given up. Each life, you get a new, fresh one, you see. But that subtle body, that contaminated subtle body, has kept us going from birth to birth to birth to birth to birth. That subtle body is the problem. That mala subtle body, that dirty subtle body is the real problem. Real, it's a tremendous problem. That dirty, very, 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 very dirty subtle body. You see, that's our problem. That's the problem we all have, that dirty subtle body. So we have to really, really be intense and determined. And then by the grace of the pure devotee, by the grace of Prabhupada, the great acharyas, that dirt in the heart can be washed completely away and we can become qualified for pure bhakti. We have one spiritual master in this connection. She is our siksha guru. You know that little sparrow? I think you all know the little sparrow. She is our Guru Maharaj, yes. That little sparrow. The ocean stole the little sparrow's eggs. And you know, as a mother, she's naturally very attached to her children. That's nature's way. The children are very well cared for. The mother has a very strong attachment for the children. So when her eggs were stolen by the ocean, she was in a state worse than death. So she asked the ocean to return the eggs. The ocean said, "No way." So she was very determined. "No, I must get the eggs back. I will dry up the ocean. You don't give me the eggs back, I will dry you up." So the little sparrow, she's running down to the ocean, taking some drops of water in her beak, running back to the land, depositing them in, down to the ocean, some more drops, back to the land. "In this way, I will dry up the ocean." Now, is it possible for a little tiny bird to dry up the ocean? Is it possible? No way. She's going to drop dead of exhaustion before she gets even makes an insignificant dent into that huge volume of water contained in the ocean. And everybody is laughing. "I just see that stupid little bird. She's stupid. Stupid, idiotic little bird. Running herself to death, trying to dry up the ocean. Ha, 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 ha." Well, there was one person who didn't think it was very funny. His name was Goduda. He wasn't laughing. "My little sister is being tortured and tormented by the ocean and all these other people." Garuda became very, very, very angry. He came zooming in like a Patriot missile. Came zooming in. And he told the ocean, "You better give those eggs back right now. I'm going to dry you up." "Yes, take the eggs." So, Prabhupada said, "God helps those who help themselves." You see, that sparrow, she didn't say, "Well, whatever Krishna wants. I'm just going to sit here. If Krishna wants to give the eggs back, that's all right. But I'm just going to sit here. Whatever Krishna wants." No. She was determined to dry up that ocean to get the eggs back. So I would say, "Well, if Krishna wants me to be a pure devotee, then all right. I'll just let him do it. He wants to make me a pure devotee." It's like some people say, "Well, I will come to your temple when Krishna wants me to come to your temple." Have you heard that before? We hear it very commonly from our Hindu brothers. "Yes, I will come to your temple when Krishna wants me to come to your temple." I don't know how many times I've heard that over the last 40 years I've been preaching, 41 years. So we shouldn't have that mentality ourselves, you see. "Well, I'll become a pure devotee when Krishna wants me to become a pure devotee." He wants us to become pure devotees now. We must have the determination of a little sparrow to dry up all that ocean of material desires within the heart, and then Krishna himself, Prabhupada, the great acharyas, they will all come and they will pull us out of the ocean of birth and death and take us back to our svarupa in Krishna's transcendental pastimes. But we have to be very, very determined to give up all of this nonsense egotism, this nonsense fault-finding, this nonsense laziness, you see. We have to be very determined to give up all these bad qualities. Very, very determined. And then Krishna can save us. So, I can ask now if there's any questions.
I would like to ask, is that only a pure devotee who come out of Hari able to chant the pure name of the Lord, or if in a traditional state or Madhyam state, you are able to chant the pure name of Krishna?
Okay.
What is the question then? Only the pure devotee can chant the pure name, okay.
Is that only pure devotee able to chant the pure name of the Lord or in a Kanishka or Madhyam stage able to chant the pure?
Okay. It's a fact that only a pure devotee can purely chant the name. That's what it means to be a pure devotee. So what are impure devotees like me? What do we do in our condition? Impure souls like me, what do we do? Well, if we, even in our impure state, if we chant as purely as we possibly can, you see, actually everybody chants purely, but there's 1% pure, 2% pure, 3% pure, like that. The pure devotee, he chants 100% pure. Anyone who chants the holy name, the name itself purifies one. So anyone who utters the name, that is pure. It may be 1% pure, 2% pure. Keep chanting and you go from 1% to 2%, 3% pure, 50%, 80%. Finally that day will come. You keep chanting, you'll be working your way up, increasing the purity of the name and decreasing the impurities that are covering the name. And finally you'll reach the point of 100% and bingo, Krishna will come. You will see Krishna. Is that clear? In our impure state, we chant. And by that, some people say, well, I don't want to be offensive to the holy name, so I won't chant. I don't want to commit namaparad, so I won't chant. That is a bigger namaparad. The biggest namaparad of all is not to chant. You see? So in our aparad consciousness, in our namaparad state, we go on chanting. Yes, I'm a namaparadi, I know it, but Prabhupada said I had to chant, so what can I do? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by that chanting, by that having faith in Srila Prabhupada's order that this chanting will purify me, by Prabhupada's mercy, by the Acharya's mercy, it will happen. You will become a pure devotee. If you keep chanting, even in the impure state, chant, 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 and that day will come and you'll become completely Shuddha Bhakta. That's it. So don't give up this chanting in any condition. You see, in happiness, chant. In sadness, chant. When you're feeling mellow and peaceful, chant. When you're feeling angry, chant. In all conditions, chant, 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 chant. Don't say, can't. You see, always chant, 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 chant. And if you chant, you will become enchanted by Krishna. This chanting is enchanting. You see? The whole goal is to become enchanted by Krishna. So by chanting, you become enchanted. You understand? So keep chanting, 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 and you become completely, totally, head over heels, madly in love with Govinda. That's the goal. You see? You might be totally in love with Krishna. That mood of the gopis. Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, but he was always appreciating. He said, there is no mode of worship better than the mood of the gopis. So we hanker to be like the gopi girls, you see. Everything Krishna, Krishna. Nothing for myself. Everything Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I can give up anything and everything. It doesn't matter. I give up everything for Krishna. That is the mood of the gopis. Okay, next question. Yes, Prabhu.
He's saying, he told about the mood of the Goswamis in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
When we come to Vrindavan, we cannot get into that mood. We have so many things. Some devotees are talking negatively of others, some bad things. So many things are happening.
Yeah.
We cannot get into that mood. So.
All right. So what's the question then?
He's saying, so instead of getting purified, we sometimes become contaminated or being involved in process. So what is the proper mood
for living in Vrindavan? For living in Vrindavan, One has to be aware, of course, that any devotional service done properly, you get 1,000 times benefit. And any devotional service done improperly, you get 1,000 times punishment. So it's really a very powerful place to live. And anyone who lives here, if they take it very seriously, they will make tremendous advancement in Krishna consciousness. But you said that it's not possible to be in that mood. Hey, Radhe, actually, that's not true. At every minute, of course not, your service. But, I mean, at least during your japa, you could say that mantra, or while you're chanting Hare Krishna, your japa period, you can go to an introspective mood, because what you're trying to do in japa is trying to connect with Krishna, isn't it? Papa told us this. Actually, one of the most profound instructions I ever read from Prabhupada, I only found it lately in the Veda base. What do we normally say is the mood for chanting japa? Well, Prabhu, you got to fix your mind on the name. That's the normal advice we've always heard, and that's true. But in this letter to Sri Balabhi, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he told her this. He says, you can look it up in the Veda base. He said, when you chant Hare Krishna, feel the presence of Krishna. And if you can't do that, then fix your mind on the name. So that's the first choice. Feel the presence of Krishna. So that's very similar to the Goswami's mood. You see, they're wanting to connect with Krishna, the person Krishna who's present, but they cannot, their mood is they cannot see him and they want to connect with him. You see. So you can have the same mood every day, Prabhu, in your japa. Every day you can cultivate that mood of trying to connect with Krishna, trying to feel how Krishna is present. You see, I can tell you this. If you only do the externals and you don't do the internal, you're going to have difficulty in your spiritual life. We have to do our service very expertly. At the same time, we have to be very serious about the internal development of our heart, developing that mood of hankering for Krishna, like the Goswamis. It's very important. Not only in Vrindavan, anywhere in the world, you see. This mantra is very powerful. That's why Srinivasacharya has given it to us. He radhe vrajade vikhet shatsal chalalite he nandasunaka sukaha shi govardana kalapa padapale kalindi vanekutaha. Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Radharani? See, that hankering to connect with them. It's very important. You can do it every day in your japa. Let me not do this mechanically. Let me connect with Krishna. Let me feel the presence of Krishna. Let me feel Radharani's presence. You see, you can do that every day in your japa, Prabhuji. It's up to you. But you can do that every day in your japa period. And I guarantee you, you'll be pretty blissful. If you take that mood up in your rounds every day, you're feeling really good. Say, Prabhu, what? You're feeling so ecstatic. I've never seen you so enlivened. What's going on? Well, I've learned how to go deeper in my japa. I took advantage of Prabhupada's instruction to feel the presence of Krishna when I chant the holy names. And it's made a big difference in my japa, you see. That you can do it. You've been given, allotted 16 rounds of japa every day, your own personal meeting with God, with Krishna and Radha every day. Your personal meeting with them. Now you just have to connect. It's right there in your bead bag. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Okay? Does that satisfy you? Okay. All right, next question. Yes, Prabhuji. My dear God brother, tell me what he said.
Till now what he said was, at any time he was able to connect with Krishna when he was thinking about Krishna. That's what he told right now. He was able to connect with Krishna. And what's your question?
Question? Okay.
It's not only during japa time, it was any time he can get connected to.
That's a fact. That's a fact. But japa time is a time when you can fine-tune your consciousness. And that fine-tuning then will carry you through the whole day. You can use it in all your services, offering an RT, distributing books, sweeping the temple, doing parikrama. See, the japa is a time of fine-tuning the consciousness. Really going in there and do a super, super, super-duper fine-tuning in the consciousness. And just like in the traditional way of crossing the ocean, I think it's called a sextant. You take a reading of latitude and longitude, and then once a day you take that reading, and then you adjust whatever you were off to get to your final destination. So that japa period is a time when we can really, really fine-tune our consciousness every day and get back on the real purpose, the real goal, which is simply to connect with Krishna in love, you see. And then we can apply that same consciousness in everything we do, see. When we put on our tilak, we should think, I'm doing this to please Srila Prabhupada. Putting on my dhoti or my sari, why am I doing this? Mechanically? This is to please Srila Prabhupada. He wants us to wear Vaishnava dress, you see. So that same mood that you refine in your japa, you can apply it to everything. Singing and dancing in the kirtan, everything. You can take that refinement of consciousness that one cultivates in japa and apply it to every single aspect, all 9 types of bhakti. It's a good point, Prabhuji. Thank you. So, anything else? Everybody's ready to adjourn. You want more question or you want to adjourn now? You have a question? Okay, what's your question?
How can one keep increasing his determination in cultivating pure devotional service?
How can one keep on increasing his determination to cultivate pure devotional service? Well, I can tell you this. Once you get in the taste, once you get into the groove of seriously trying to increase your determination, that creates a certain transcendental momentum which will keep you going more determined, more determined, more determined. See, once you lay aside all other attachments and just say one attachment only to Krishna, awakening my love for Krishna, and once you start applying energy, psychic energy, you know, to that goal, there is so much nectar there that will automatically, the momentum will keep you in that groove. You just have to be very careful to guard yourself from lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, Vaishnava parada, overeating, oversleeping, because these things will blow it, they'll mess up the mood. But once you get into that mood, you see, that mood is so sweet that mood will, it's like when you eat one gulab jamun, what does it do? Wow, I want another one. It's pretty good, you see. So the mood of being determined to awaken pure bhakti within the heart, that mood is the ultimate gulab jamun. And by taking that one gulab, then you want another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. So that's how it works. Just get into it as best you can. In spite of our humbling, our bumbling, fumbling ways, we just have to seriously endeavor to become pure in our consciousness. And we'll get such a sweet taste from that sincere endeavor that will give us impetus to become more sincere, more sincere, more sincere about that endeavor, which is the ultimate of all endeavors. So I think this is a good point, a very nice closing point for this Bhagavatam class. And I thank all of you. Maharaj, thank you very much for coming. I'm blessed when the sannyasis come. So I thank you all. I'm blessed by all of you coming, all my godbrothers especially, and all of you. Thank you so much for coming today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.